any chip on the flow, man. Just...
Some neighbors were saying way too loud.
That's only in the morning. You supposed to be up cooking breakfast with somebody. That's like an alarm clock.
Howdy, everybody. Welcome to the latest edition of Loose Lug Nuts Podcast. This is going to be a solo edition. A lot of stuff going on. Evan Roberts was shaken by the Kate Middleton news, so he's unable to join us this week. Busy time all around here. Lots of stuff going on. People with NBA basketball tournaments and whatnot. But I'm always dedicated to NASCAR, so I did a real quick rundown and we'll get their thoughts on what happened last week at the Cup Series in Bristol sometime next week. But I wanted to make sure we got an episode out because we're going to COTA. We're in Austin. NASCAR drivers will be avoiding hobos pooping under underpasses all throughout the Austin area. But it's going to be some great racing out there at the Circuit of Americas. First, a little bit of NASCAR news. Actually, one main piece. NASCAR is going to manage the racing operations for Bowman Gray Stadium, famed short track in Winston-Salem. Racing there has been a bit of a zoo the last couple of years, so we'll see how NASCAR handling the guidance of racing there changes that. But could see Bowman Gray Stadium used in some of the lower circuits. Be interested to see if we have truck races there or whatnot, but they'll keep up with the weekly racing that goes on at Bowman Gray Stadium. So we were, for those that don't know, we were in Bristol last week, and it was what a week it was. Something we haven't had in a long time happen. We had tire wear and a lot of tire wear, especially in the Cup Series. So we'll start off talking about the Cup race. They used resin for the first time ever. They didn't use the PB&J4, PJ4, PJ1, P something. They didn't use the PJ1. They used resin, so they thought they would have more more lanes racing. Didn't exactly work out that bad. It wasn't awful, but it didn't seem to work the way they thought it would. And it ended up being good racing, maybe not for the reason they thought it would be. First of all, Ross Chastain's going to start dead last, which... that's important to know because he usually runs pretty good here, so he's going to have to fly up the track. We got Ryan Blaney winning his first pole since 2022. Josh Berry was alongside for his best career starting spot. In the second row, we had Joey Logano and Denny Hamlin. Pretty ironic. They're talking about toe links pre-race, and Mike Joy, who currently might be the weakest link of the broadcast, says something's got to be the weakest link. So I found that to be ironic. You get the racing here. Stage one, it takes about four laps, but Josh Berry, who's the those that know, he's a short track wizard from way back. That's actually how he first caught Dale Jr.'s eye. He takes the lead. Then Joey Logano, who started up front, as we said, he starts drifting back, and by lap eight, he's all the way back to ninth place. And then Chase Briscoe had been holding up cars behind, but once Denny Hamlin gets by him for third, he starts flying. He looks like he's going to be the car to beat in this race. Lap 21, William Byron goes up in the wall. He doesn't bring out the yellow. It was three wide for a little bit with Christopher Bell was under Joey Logano. Joey Logano had nowhere to go, which forced him up into Byron, into the wall. So two laps later, the yellow actually comes out for debris from this incident. Everybody pits except for Tyler Reddick. This is where we're going to first find out that tires are going to be an issue. It was a very not smart move for Tyler Reddick. A lot of people tried different stuff, taking two tires. We had Wallace, Elliott, Truex, McDowell, and Josh Berry all took two tires. They're also going to find out something. We get the lap 31 restart. Like we said, Tyler Reddick, he didn't get tires. He doesn't have a very good restart, and he blows a tire. So he's going to have to go back and get a new set. He was run into by Josh Berry because Josh Berry was flying because he had at least two tires. So We're going to bring out another yellow, and this is where we're going to see they show big shreds of tire, and they're constantly calling these things marbles. They're not marbles. They're shredded tire. Like, I know what marbles look like. These are shredded tires. These tires are shredding. So we get the lap 39 restart. Wallace ahead of Barry. Barry's a couple ahead a couple laps later, and he's looking really good. But then he's not, because he only took the two tires. Wallace passes him, and Barry's drifting back. He's back to eighth place by lap 53, so five laps in. So out front, we got Wallace, Hamlin, Blaney. In lap 54, Hamlin gets back out front. He's looking like the car to beat on long runs, along with Blaney. And lap 60, we're going to see it's very fascinating. There's lots of comers and goers, but it changes from lap to lap. It's really intense. Lap 72, Zane Smith blows a tire. He brings out the yellow. Clint Bowyer up in the booth makes a very good point at this moment in the race. Cars are all bunched together. No one's wanting to break out because they don't want to blow their tires or use up their tires early. So everyone's staying bunched up. And you're not getting, usually 30 laps into a race, you're going to get lapped cars. And the cars at this point in the race aren't lapping. Like, there's still 30-something cars on the lead lap, which is just bonkers. So it's going to be a much different race than we've seen in the past here at Bristol. Lap 80 restart, Hamlin and Blaney out front. Elliott is having voltage problems. We don't hear about this much later on, so they must have got it fixed, but he's battling Kyle Busch for third place. There's 15 lead changes through 90 laps. Last year, there was only 10 for the entire race, so that tells you what kind of difference we got going on. Lap 109, 17 laps into the left to go in the stage. Barry is in the wall, and he eventually drifts back into 20th place. And as we mentioned, there's still 30 cars on the lead lap. Lap 115, Kyle Busch, who was second, he has no control in his car at this point. And this is where we've noticed a little bit before, but this is where, like, we noticed the cars, once the tires reach a certain point, the car basically is not controllable and you can't drive at full speed. He drips out of the top 20 within four laps back from second place. 16 to go. Gibbs has the lead. He's nursing, or everyone else is nursing their cars into the break. But finally, with two laps to go, Busch's tire finally blows. Hamlin also gets a flat. They're going to finish the stage under yellow. Ty Gibbs, he gets his first career stage. He's followed by Kyle Larson, Chris Buescher, Martin Truex, Brad Keselowski in the top five. Joe Nemechek, he's not even driving anymore. Sean Hunter, Nemechek, Josh Berry, Ryan Preece are among those in the top 10. At this point, stage two is getting ready to start, and we see they show the Goodyear hauler, and they show people scurrying around. It's like a beehive of activity as they are now getting extra set of tires available. NASCAR, they're waiting for word from NASCAR and if they will allow each team to get an extra set of tires. But either way, Goodyear's has to have them prepared so that if they get to go ahead, they can hand them out. So Clint Bowyer throws out an applicable Days of Thunder quote. They show one set of tires that it's all worn out, and they show another set that's not. And he drops the, we ran 50 laps his way, 50 laps my way. That comment, which I found funny, got zero response from Mike Joy and Kevin Harvick. Almost like they've either A, never seen the movie before, which would be bizarre, or they're absolutely not listening to anything that Clint Bowyer says, which would not be a surprise. The booth seems very disconnected from time to time. So lap 141 restart. Kyle Larson's out front. He's obviously saving tires, though, so he allows Ty Gibbs to get out in front without much resistance. It's looking like Tour de France at this point. Guys are just trading the lead and backing off to save tires. Lap 151, JGR cars are in front for the top five spots they own. We got Gibbs and then Kyle Larson, the non-JGR car in second, followed by Bell in third, Truex in fourth, Hamlin in fifth. Lap 176.51 to go in the stage. Ricky Stenhouse clips the back end of Michael McDowell. He pinballs off of Zane Smith and Daniel Hemric. It started with cars checking up with contact ahead between Joey Logano and John Hunter Nemechek, two old nemesis. So during this yellow flag pit stop, Ty Gibbs has to come back in for uncontrolled tire. So since he has to come back in, he's going to put scuffs on. We're going to have the lap 190 restart. Buescher, who had two tires on his pit stop, is out front. And then lap 200, we get the good news that every good news for the teams. NASCAR says every team will get one extra set of tires once Goodyear gets them mounted, and they go back to the beehive of activity as they're furiously mounting these tires for the teams. Lap 225, Hamlin has fallen off the pace, but JGR still has three of the top four cars with Bell, Truex, and Gibbs, who's all the way back up even after having to do that repit. And then, holy poop, Kyle Busch is around again on lap 228. He brings out the yellow. This is the one gets me confused a little bit, because at lap 228, there is not much racing left to go in the stage. Doing the math on how much there was, probably about 20 something laps left. About, so they're gonna go back to green flag racing with like 18 laps left. All right, no, sorry, my math is bad. Gonna go back with 12 laps left. This run hasn't been very long. They restart at 90. This is lap 225, 35 laps in. They've been doing about 40 laps before the tires fall apart. So you nurse your tires for 10 laps and you got an extra set of tires. You're like, oh my God, we're running out of tires. NASCAR, please give us tires, because the tires are wearing. Almost everyone pits. Doesn't make a sense. They're doing a bunch of different stuff though. Putting on scuffs, doing two tires. But anyhow, to me, I would have just stayed out and rode slow that last 12, 11 laps. But I'm not a crew chief, because if I was, I'd win a title, because I'm smarter than everyone else. Anyways, Blaney, too fast entering. He's going to have to serve a penalty. Corey LaJoie and Carson Hocevar didn't pit. Two of the people taking my advice. They'll start out front on lap 240, and actually there's going to be 11 to go in the start, so that makes it even more insane that people pitted. It works out for LaJoie. Doesn't work out for Hocevar. Anyhow, Logano takes the lead, and only Gibbs and Keselowski look like they want to fight for it, so they go after him. Gibbs takes the lead with two to go, and that's how the stage ends. Gibbs taking the points. He's swept the stage wins. Mike Joy says that it doesn't pay off for LaJoie and Hocevar because they stayed out and fell off the top 20, but they were out of the top 20 before they did it. It paid off because they saved a set of tires and did not lose a lap. So I should be in the booth, maybe not Mike LaJoie. So the rest of the stage points winners for stage two, once again, Gibbs in first, Brad Keselowski second, Joey Logano, John Hunter Nemechek, and Christopher Bell in the top five, followed by Truex, Hamlin, Larson, Bubba Wallace, and Ryan Preece in the top 10. So we get the stage break, and once again, everybody pitting again. It doesn't make any sense. You can't bitch about tire not having enough tires if you're throwing tires on for an 11-lap run. I don't. It's even if they're using scuffs, doesn't make sense, but I digress. Lap 265 restart. Gibbs and Truex out front. JGR running 1-2-3. Denny Hamlin is in eighth. Gibbs seems to be pushing the pace on this restart, maybe thinking of finally lapping some cars. Like we said, they were all bunched up. And we have 31 cars on the lead lap at this point. Tires look like as long as you make each pair last 40, you're going to be able to make it to the end of the race, since NASCAR gave them tires. So it seems like the pace is increasing a little bit. Lap 309, going to have 192 laps left at this point. JGR and Keselowski make up the top five. Josh Berry into the wall. This time he brings out the yellow. It screws Harrison Burton, who had just pitted under green. So put the ice cream and cake away. No win number 100 for Wood Brothers. Lap 321, we already have our 40th lead change. They say that's the NASCAR record for a short track race set in 1991. All Gibbs out in front on the lap 323 restart. Lap 360, Hemric into the wall, but no yellow. He's going to have to pit under green. And then lap 363, Noah Gregson into the wall, no yellow. He's going to have to pit under green. Lap 365, Hamlin out front. And he's starting to lap cars. But Larry Mack is predicting a yellow flag soon. And yeah, very soon. Lap 368, Stenhouse magically goes around and he brings out the yellow. He was getting ready to get lapped and he magically spun around before getting lapped. Cindric also spins at the same time. They're seemingly making every caution last a couple laps more, like NASCAR. And it seems like they're doing it to stretch out the tire life for the drivers. They also need the time to clean up the quote-unquote marbles, which are just huge honking shreds of tire. Larson gets caught with equipment interference during the pit stop, so he's going to have to go back to the back. He'd been running up front most of the race. Lap 380, we got 121 to go. Seems like each green flag run will be shorter maybe at this point, like they're inside the tire shredding point. A lot of decisions will have to be made by pit crews. Lap 400, so 101 to go. We got JGR 1 through 4. They've been running out front the whole race, so makes sense. 76 to go. Everyone is falling off the pace, and JGR is fixing to start lapping some fools. 70 go. Gibbs into the wall, but stays green. Longest green flag run we've had. 66 to go. Hamlin is passing everybody now. There's just 14 cars on the lead lap. We just said about 30 laps ago there was 30. Now there's just 14. 64 to go. Cars are dropping like flies, and now we got the green flag pit stops going. Hamlin and Truex have all lapped all but 9 cars. And 57 to go. Now even Hamlin and Truex are slowing down. There's just 8 cars on the lead lap. They're going to have to pit soon. They pit with 53 to go. And at this point, only Keselowski and Bowman haven't pitted. They eventually will. Lap 48, we cycled through the pit stops, and we have Hamlin leading Truex and Barry with 11 cars on the lead lap. That's with 48 laps to go. So it's going to be interesting finish to the race. 30 to go. It's Hamlin, Truex, Keselowski out front. 10 cars on the lead lap. 9 cars, 1 lap down. 18 to go. We're getting an ass load of lap traffic. It allows Truex to pass Hamlin for the lead. But 2 laps later, it flip-flops. They're coming up on 3 wides, going really slow, and that allows Hamlin to get back out front. 10 to go. 8 cars on the lead lap. Hamlin is 3/10 a second ahead of Truex. 7 to go. 5 on the lead. 5 cars on the lead lap. We haven't seen that in a while. And 4/10 of a second lead for Hamlin. 3 to go. Truex has trouble getting by Justin Haley, so that ruins any chances of him catching Hamlin. Hamlin opens up this half-second lead, and he cruises to his 52nd career win. Denny Hamlin needs 2 more wins to tie Lee Petty for 12th place. He has the most wins by any driver in the series, not having a series title. Dubious distinction, but maybe he gets that series title this year. For those history buffs, there's only 3 drivers with 40 or more wins who have no title: Denny Hamlin Jr., Johnson, and Mark Martin. So this race, we had 16 different drivers. We had 54 lead changes. Once again, that's a record for a NASCAR short track, I believe. The one sort of, they had 9 cautions for 98 laps. Like I said, they were stretching some of these cautions out, and it was almost like on purpose so that the drivers would have to be out on the tires that were shredding a lot shorter period of time. Hamlin won the race, as we said. He's followed by Truex, Keselowski, Bowman, and Larson in the top 5. So you had JGR finish 1-2, and they also had 9 and 10, as Christopher Bell came in 10th, Ty Gibbs came in 9th. RFK finished third and seventh. We said Keselowski in third, and we had Buescher in seventh. Others in the top 10, Nemechek in sixth, Elliott in eighth. As we said, we'll talk about the tire wear thing when we can have some banter back and forth with Tyler Pigg and Evan Roberts. But I think it was good racing. Drivers had to, you know, back off of it and whatnot. And I just think it was came as a surprise to the drivers, which I don't think is good. I think if they know going into it, they expected everything to be just like in last fall. They claim they use the same exact tires. Temperatures would have made a difference, I guess. But they said the rubber wasn't laying down in the track in the upper two levels, and that was causing the tires to just shred. So it is what it is. New playoff picture. We have five different winners through five races. Points leader Kyle Larson, along with Denny Hamlin, Christopher Bell, William Byron, and Daniel Suarez. So those five technically in. The other 11 on points would be Truex, Gibbs, Blaney, Elliott, Chastain, Reddick, Bowman, Keselowski, Buescher, Nemechek, and Busch. Huge jump for Keselowski. He jumped up nine spots in the 13th place. Drivers on the outside, Michael McDowell, 12 points back in 17th. Bubba Wallace and Chase Briscoe are 15 points back, tied for 18th. Logano crept up four spots and up to 26th, so good for him not DNFing. He actually finished in 22nd, and he got some stage points. He got like eight stage points, so it's you move up if you don't DNF, but to make the playoffs, he's going to have to move up. He's going to have to finish higher than 22nd. Going to need some top 10s here soon. Anyway, 21 races left, so not the end of the world. Didn't have Xfinity, but we had truck racing in Thunder Valley. Christian Eckes qualifies for the pole. Nick Sanchez alongside. Also have Taylor Gray and Kyle Busch, the bushwhacker. Stage one, Sanchez got a big wobble. He saves it, though. Could have been disastrous on the first lap with all the trucks like running full speed as you can get on a short track behind him. But he saves it. Lap six, it gets away from Matt Mills. He brings out the yellow. Lap 13, Eckes is followed by Taylor Gray. We're getting some side-by-side racing as two lanes are working, something we didn't see in the Cup Series. Lap 42, Eckes is threading through lap traffic with Taylor Gray hounding. Lap 44, Keith McGee goes around and bring out the yellow as Taylor Gray is trying to get by two lapped cars racing side by side. They make some contact with Gray, but it doesn't look like much damage. Lap 53, restart, 13 to go. Busch is banging hard on Eckes. He's the first person to take the lead on the restart from the inside, so keep that in mind for later. Kyle Busch wins the stage comfortably, followed by Eckes, Sanchez, Ty Majeski, Zane Smith, and then Taylor Gray, Tyler Ankrum. I always want to say Dusty Rhodes, Ben Rhodes, Honeycutt, and Enfinger. Sorry, round out the top 10. Stage two, we're going to have the restart on lap 77 for those doing math. That was 11 laps at the stage break, which that's just, I know they got to work stuff out for commercials, but you're taking the people that paid their money to come watch racing are missing out on four or five green flag laps, which I don't know. They need to feel like a broken record just bitching about that. So anyways, Adam Alexander spends half the first stage and half the first half of the second stage talking about Lane Riggs being in the top 15. And all this while, Zane Smith has been in the top five and they haven't mentioned his name once. Eventually they're like, oh, Zane Smith's quietly in fifth place. And it's like, well, he's quietly in fifth place because you haven't named him once. Lap 119, Stuart Friesen is one of the biggest movers on the day. He qualified 23rd. He's up to seventh. Lap 126, five to go in the stage. Outrageously good racing by Busch, Eckes, and Sanchez, weaving through dozens of lapped trucks. Lap 130, Sanchez gets by Eckes on the last lap for second. But it's Kyle Busch. He sweeps the stages. Fourth straight race at Bristol, in which the drivers swept the stages. None of those prior three went on to win the race. So we'll see how that works out. Kyle Busch followed by Sanchez, Eckes, Ty Majeski, Zane Smith, Tyler Ankrum, Stuart Friesen, Matt Crafton, Ben Rhodes, and Lane Riggs. We're going to have the final stage restart. Slow stop for Majeski, though. Nick Sanchez has a loose wheel. He has to repit, no longer in seventh. He's got to go all the way back to like the ninth row. Lap 143 restart. Busch restarting on the outside gets ahead of Ekkes, but then we get a Thor Sport bang up. Majeski gets loose. He goes around. He runs into teammate Ben Rhodes. Luckily, Matt Crafton was able to break enough to miss him. Otherwise, that would have been damaged for three Thor Sport cars. Lap 153 restart. Ekkes finally gets a better restart, but he still can't fight off Busch or Kenny. They battle for about three laps. Really great racing. But Busch eventually breaks away on lap 156. Lap 159, Ekkes finally gets by Kyle Busch. A couple laps later, he's nearly a second ahead of Busch. Crafton is also fixing to pass Busch too. Lap 174, we got 77 to go. Thinking of playing a Lane Griggs drinking game at this point. They mention him for like the 69,420th time. He's running eighth. Keep in mind when I say this, I thought Lane Griggs was going to be the breakout driver this year. I love him, but they're mentioning way more than they need to. Ty Majeski, with 67 to go. He has to go behind the wall. Bad result for him on what would have been a top five day. Not good for him. 50 to go. Ekkes, Busch, and Crafton way out front of everyone else. 35 to go. Lap traffic has things gummed up for Ekkes. The top three, though, they're all together. They're separated by 2 hundredths of a or 2 tenths of a second. Lap 32, freezing goes around. He made contact with Sanchez battling for eighth. It brings out the yellow. Hopefully, it doesn't ruin what was going to be a really good ending of the race. Friesen, it's almost like I didn't hear his communications, but I think he thought he was clear. He was not clear. I don't think Sanchez did anything wrong. He's like, you got to let me back in. But like, you were trying to get in somewhere where you weren't clear. And I think had you just hit like his nose, he might have maybe should have backed off, but he would have had to brake more than that to let you in. So you can't ask a driver to stop at a Bristol to let you in. If they just need to slow up a little, let you in, I could see maybe. Anyhow, there was a fracas afterwards. So Busch is thinking, so we got around 32, about 28 to go at this point, yellow. Busch is thinking about pitting, which is wild. He thinks, without making any changes, he's the third best out of those trucks we named, Ekkes and Crafton. He thinks those trucks better. Thing is, if he pits, not everyone else is going to pit, so you're not going to come back out there. You're going to come back out, and you're going to have to pass some trucks. He might have just been throwing that out there in case anyone's listening to his communications, because he does not pit. We're going to restart, 24 to go. Ekkes is out easily with Kyle Busch ahead of Zane Smith, 17 to go. Ekkes back out in front, 1.2 seconds ahead. Doesn't look like the ending will be as good as we thought it would be. Six to go, trickle of lap traffic, not enough to affect the ending. And then three to go, lead is down to a half second though. Busch is closing at the end. Busch finishes 2 tenths of a second behind Ekkes with William Sawalich through sort of a pick, which didn't allow Busch to catch him. So Ekkes wins a sixth career race. He's followed by Busch, Zane Smith, Matt Crafton, and Tyler Ankrum in the top five, Corey Heim, Taylor Gray, Raja Carruth, Grant Enfinger, and get ready to drink Lane Riggs in 10th. Enfinger has never finished outside the top 10 at Bristol, which is pretty bonkers. Remember that, pick him next time. Like I said, the accident between Friesen and Sanchez, I think, ruined what could have been a great ending. The ending was still pretty good. Busch almost caught him at the end. I think if he had 10 more laps, maybe he would have, although you don't know how much Ekkes was just already knew he had the race in the bag. The one that is the outlier is Matt Crafton had a really good long, long run car. As we said, he pulled within 2 tenths of a second when that accident happened, and that was on a fairly long run. That was, hey, I'm trying to do the math on how long that run was. It was like a 50 lap run. So had we run without the accident, he would have been up there to fight. So very sad. So we now have three drivers in the playoffs, Rajah Caruth, Nick Sanchez, Christian Eckes. Their ages 21, 22, 23. So we got youngsters in the playoffs. At this point, the other seven in on points would be Tyler Ankrum, Corey Heim, Ty Majewski, Taylor Gray, Matt Crafton, Grant Enfinger, and Brett Holmes. Interesting names on the outside. Ben Rhodes, 15th. He's 17 points below the cutoff. Friend of the program, Baylor Curry, is in 16th, Ty Dillon in 24th, and often talked about Lane Riggs is 44 points back in 25th, although he still leads the Rookie of the Year race over Connor Jones, who has only run four of the five races in 27th, Thad Matha in 30th. So next up, we're going to COTA. All three series will be in COTA. Some pretty big news at COTA. They're going to be using a new restart zone. The old restart zone, as right before they headed up the hill into turn one, caused a lot of chaos. Just because of how slow you have to go up that hill, and then you're immediately going into a turn. So instead, the restart's going to happen at the beginning of the home stretch, coming off of exit of turn, coming out of the exit of turn 20, which is the last turn of the lap. So you're going to have the whole front stretch for the restart, or after the restart, before you have to slow up and go into the turn. They think it's going to cause less chaos, which could be good or bad, depending on if you like chaos. The Cup race is the Eco Park Automotive Grand Prix. That sounds like a Euro trash race. Throw a 500 at the end or something. It's going to be Sunday. It's going to be 3:30 p.m. coverage beginning at, that's Eastern time, beginning at 3 p.m. on Fox PRN Sirius XM Radio. The race is just shy of 232 miles at 231.88, 68 laps around the 3.41-mile track. Stages of 15, 15, 38. They're bringing stage breaks back, which I thought we decided was awful at road races. Also, this is going to be the first time for the short track road course package being used on a road course. So, see how that affects the racing. We have 15 active road course winners in the race. Chase Elliott leads the way with seven, but he hasn't won one since 2021 at Road America. Martin Truex has five wins on road courses. Kyle Busch and Kyle Larson have four each. AJ Allmendinger and Tyler Reddick have three each. There's been three races at COTA. They've been won by Chase Elliott in 2021, Ross Chastain in 2022, and Tyler Reddick last year. There's no Boris Said, there's no Wally Dallenbach Jr., but we do got Shane Van Gisbergen, and we have AJ Allmendinger, and we have Kamai Kobayashi and Timmy Hill as road winners. I just threw that Timmy Hill in there for the giggles. The thing I notice is, so with there being so many road courses on the regular series, some of these fringe teams that run back in the 20s and 30s, that are more worried about owner's points than driver's points, are sticking with their NASCAR regulars rather than road course ringers. Seeing more of the ringers coming in the Xfinity and the Truck Series than the Cups. I found it odd. Could just be me. I think it would be a diss, maybe. They're thinking it would be a diss of Daniel Hemric. But I'm surprised Colleg isn't gaming the owner point system and putting Dinger in the 31 to possibly get that car into the owner points playoffs. But I don't know. Like I said, they could see that as a diss on Daniel Hemric, saying, you're not good enough to win that race. So this is usually where I have some interaction with some co-hosts, but they're off something about goats and whatnot. And Pippa Middleton. I hope Pippa Middleton's okay. I'm going to go. My long shot pick is going to be Austin Cindric. He was a baller on road tracks in Xfinity. Feel like that's going to translate soon in the Cup circuit. Year one here, 2021 at COTA, he finished 25th, but the last 2 years he's finished 8th and 6th. And he's led laps in each of the three races here. Almost as importantly, is he's qualified in the top 10 in all three races here, including a pair of a second row starts. So show that he can have speed both in qualifying and driving. Winner, I'm going to go Ross Chastain. He's the only driver to have top fives in all three of the COTA races. Of course, he won in 2022. His other finishes were both fourths in 2021, 2023. So Ross Chastain is my pick for the COTA race. going to go to the Xfinity Focused Health 250 Saturday at 5 p.m., beginning at 4 with coverage on FS1, PRN, Sirius XM Radio. 156.86 miles, 46 laps. Stages of 14, 16, 16. That means a few yellow flags. You're going to have stages of 9, 12, and 12. That's not very ideal. I wish they would fix that. I don't, whatever. Maybe at road courses, yellow flag laps don't count. There you go. Solution. So we got some bushwhackers. We got Kyle Larson in the 17, Ty Gibbs in the 19, John Hunter Nemechek in 20. And I've been told technically Kaz Grala is a cup invader too. So got some road course ringers. Like I said, it seems to be more of those happening in Xfinity and truck as they used to happen in Cup Series. But we got Ed Jones, Austin Green, Alex LaBey, Preston Partis, R.C. Enerson, and I should know his name, Russian Formula One driver. Hopefully no one from Austin throws poop at him. He's Russian. Daniel Kvyat. And then, of course, you got the two full-time road course ringers for Oleg, Shane Van Gisbergen, and A.J. Allmendinger. Allmendinger enters the week with a whopping 11 road course victories on the Xfinity circuit, including 4 at Charlotte and 2 each at COTA in Mid-Ohio. Don't sleep on Sam Mayer. He won 3 road races last year, including Road America, Watkins Glen, and Charlotte Roval. This would be a great place for him to turn around what he has deemed a season from hell. So look for Sam Mayer to be up front there a little bit. Other notables, Justin Allgaier has 2 top fives in his 3 COTA races, including a 3rd in 2021 and a 5th in 2023. Cole Custer has 2 top tens in the top 5. He finished 7th in 2021, 3rd in 2022. He had a dust up and finished 32nd last year. So for my winner, I was tempted to pick Sam Mayer, but I think Danger wants to take his title back. As the best road course driver on the Xfinity Series, he only lost that last year because he was running Cup full-time. I think Dinger pulls this one out, but Sam Mayer would not be a bad pick. Under the truck race, X-Spell 225. It was originally named 225 back when the track was a shade shorter, and 42 laps equaled 140.4 miles, which then it was only 226 kilometers, not 225. So should have been the Expel 225. Now the track is 3.41 miles. That makes the 42 laps equal 143.22 miles, which that's now 230.5 kilometers. So still not 225. I'm a truth in advertising guy. Maybe that's why Euro Trash calls everything Grand Prix. So we've got to fix numbers. Got one bushwhacker in the race, Ross Chastain. Got some road course ringers, Jack Hawksworth in the number one for Tricon, Marco Andretti for Roper Racing, Connor Zillish for Spire Motorsports, Vicente Salas and Dale Quarterly, Young Motorsports, and Connor Fartuck for Realm Brothers. None of the prior COTA winners are back. I think that's sort of big news. Ty Gilliland won in 2021, Zane Smith in 2022, 2023. For the winner, I'm going Ross Chastain. He won a Cup Series race here. And this isn't like a short-term fill-in, like him racing here just 2 times a year out of the blue. He's familiar with Nice Brothers operations, ran full-time here back in the day. He's run a whole bunch of races with them ever since, so familiar ground. I can see him pulling this one out. Now, favorite part of the show, we're going to go to the paint schemes. I think the Brad Keselowski Castrol is very underrated. I like the paint scheme this week. And then a couple guys, Denny Hamlin, going with the St. Patrick's Day Green Interstate Batteries lightning scheme. A week too late for St. Patrick's Day. Could have ran that last week. Would have made sense. Same with Ricky Stenhouse. He's in the St. Patrick's Day green palm olive oil scheme. Once again, a week late on that one. Really like this paint scheme. It looks sharp. I believe this is 23XI. They thought, hey, who better to run the Mobile One 150th anniversary scheme than Kamiya Kobayashi. It's a sharp looking car. Like I said, I really like it. Hopefully, it should make the race. I don't think that anyone's going to get left out in qualifying. Really sharp looking car. The other Mobile One car looks sharp. Bubba Wallace is in that in the number 23. Go down the Xfinity series. The Deegs, Haley Deegan, is in the number 15 Cody Jinx car. It looks pretty good. Promoting his new album coming out. Change the game. So, yeah, that one looks sharp. And then we got red, white, and blue with stars. Ryan Ellis in the classic collision Chevy looks really sharp. I just hope one of those anti-American smelly hippies throws a brown bag of human feces at it since we're in Austin. Just please don't do it. Then Chandler Smith, number 81. I'm going all in on Mobile One this week. And a hot take. Might talk about this in future weeks. Pegasuses are underrated, and they're far superior to unicorns. So just throwing that out there. Mobile One features the Pegasus logo. Looks pretty sharp. Trucks, we're going to stick on the Pegasus. Mobile One went all in this weekend. They're on the number one for Tricon, driven by Jack Hawksworth. And I bet there's a number 77 Bama Buggies car for, oh God, I forgot his name, Chase Purdy. So that is it. I just wanted to get something out there in years past when the Evan's been too busy doing whatever he does and Tyler's not available. We don't do an episode and then people forget Loose Lug Nuts is here. Hope I was able to not be too boring. Hey, those that don't know, I did the original podcast back in the day. We were called Debris Caution back then. And then I had people join and I lost all creative control. And then they decide not to show up. But anyhow, we'll see you back next week when we wrap up COTA. And as I said, we might have more discussion coming back to what happened at Bristol. You guys have a good weekend.
I grew up in Texas where football was my game. Until that racing fever started burning in my brain. I started running mini stocks when I was 13. And won a short track championship when I was just 16. I met a man named Harry Hyde and he built a car for me. Sponsored by Granddaddy Hillen's Drilling Company. We ran in 5 Grand Nationals when I was 17. My Talladega finish was the start of my big dream. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. And I'm glad I had Granddaddy on my side. You've given me my wings, now it's up to me to fly. Thank you for the ride, Harry Hyde. Some may say that Lady Luck has given me the breaks. I must admit she smiled a bit, but it's me that runs the race. Now you can't be a champion due to luck or circumstance. I'll do the best I can for those who've given me the chance. Thank you for the ride.